Welcome to the deep dive. You know that moment maybe you're watching a movie or seeing red carpet photos, there's a flash of a wrist, and bam, you're not just seeing a watch.
No, definitely not. It's instantly a statement, isn't it?
Exactly. These things, they're powerful. They speak volumes about style, sure, but also success, maybe even character.
Absolutely. There's just this incredible allure, a well-crafted watch, especially on someone famous. It just draws you in. It becomes more than just, telling time. It's a cultural marker. It tells a whole story.
And that's our mission today for you. We want to peel back those layers. We're diving deep into the most popular celebrity watches, what people are wearing now around 2025, both on screen and off.
Yeah, pulling out the really fascinating bits from our sources. Why do these specific watches become so iconic? What are they actually saying?
Right. How do they just lodge themselves in our minds? We've got some, frankly, surprising stories and some pretty eye-watering values coming up. It might change how you look at someone's wrist.
It's really about digging into the why.
Yeah.
Why these choices? What status do they project? And how does a watch, sometimes quite simple, become legendary just through association?
Okay, so if we're talking iconic watches,
Yeah.
we have to start with the big one, the undisputed heavyweight, Rolex.
No question.
But what is it about Rolex? What gives them this universal mystique? Is it just brilliant marketing, or is there something, more fundamental going on?
Well, it's definitely brilliant marketing, but it's more. It's like a masterclass in brand storytelling. Rolex isn't just selling a watch, they're selling aspiration, achievement. We've all sort of absorbed that narrative.
That makes sense.
And think about films. You see a Rolex on a character's wrist, maybe just a glimpse, instantly, without a word, you get it. Status, power, maybe even a bit of suave danger.
Yeah, filmmakers love that shorthand.
They do, because we, the audience, we understand the code. So that cinematic presence plus real celebrities wearing them,
Yeah.
yeah, that's cemented Rolex as probably the most popular branded watch globally.
And that story carries right over into the real world, obviously. Let's talk about some of the big names off screen. Who stands out to you with their Rolex game?
Well, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a good place to start. You often see him with Audemars Piguet, sure, but his Rolex collection, it's serious.
Like what?
He's got a Yachtmaster, the Ref, 16628 gold with a champagne dial. That's around, what, $30,000? And also that two-tone GMT Master II, the Root Beer.
Oh, yeah, the steel and Evreux gold one.
Exactly.
Okay.
That one's maybe $20,000. It shows he's not just sticking to one thing. He appreciates different styles, different histories.
Okay, so powerful statements for sure. What about Hollywood royalty? Brad Pitt. His collection seems legendary. Does his personal taste ever bleed into his characters?
Oh, definitely. It blurs the lines in a really cool way. Pitt's a known watch guy, right?
Yeah.
And in Ocean's 13, his character, Rusty Ryan, he wore Pitt's own
No
Rolex.
kidding, which one?
His personal GMT Master II, the 11-16-18, that's a heavy hitter. Could be up to $75,000. The fact that he used his own watch, it just adds this layer of authenticity. It's not just a prop department choice. It feels real.
That's fascinating. And speaking of authenticity and maybe breaking norms, Charlize Theron. Back in 2010, she wore something pretty bold at a Lakers game,
She
right?
did, and it looked amazing.
Yeah.
She rocked a men's Rolex Seadweller Deep Sea. 44 millimeter, that's a substantial watch.
Definitely a statement. What did that signal, you
It
think?
was huge, really. It highlighted this growing trend of women embracing these bigger, traditionally masculine timepieces, challenging the old rules. That watch, maybe $15,000 now, it became kind of a symbol of that style shift, redefining what looked good on a woman's wrist.
And then you have guys like Mark Wahlberg, where it feels like investment is a big part of it. His collection is apparently worth over $10 million.
Yeah, his choice is definitely leaning into that investment angle. He's got the 2016 Daytona Ceramic, the black dial one, an 18-karat gold Submariner, also black dial, and that really chunky 44-millimeter Yachtmaster 2-second, the Alone 16688.
The gold one with the blue bezel.
That's the one. 18-karat gold, bright blue, Cerachrome bezel, which, is that super tough, scratch-proof ceramic Rolex developed. It's a spectacular piece.
Yeah.
For someone like Wahlberg, it's about curating value, history,
Right.
provenance.
It's a whole different level. Okay, shifting worlds, Gordon Ramsay. Michelin stars and serious watches.
Yes. Ramsay's whole persona is precision, right? Excellence. And his watches reflect that. He owns the legendary Rolex 16808 Submariner in yellow gold, the one they call the nipple dial.
Why nipple?
Because of the raised
Yeah.
sort of conical hour markers. It's a vintage thing, gives it this unique look. That watch can go for over $70,000 easily.
Wow.
And he doesn't stop there. He's got the Smurf Submariner, the white gold one with the blue dial and bezel,
Yeah.
a Yachtmaster in rose gold, even the rare Explorer II with the cream dial. These are specific, highly sought-after collector's items.
Jennifer Aniston's another longtime Rolex fan. She famously said, her first vintage one cost the best part of my savings. What does that say about the connection people form with these things?
It really underlines that even for celebrities, a Rolex often isn't just a whim. It's a significant purchase, something cherished. It's an investment, emotionally too.
Does she have a standout piece?
I'd say her custom PVD-coated Milgauss. It's pretty special. It's stainless steel, 40 millimeter, but the PVD coating gives it this really cool, durable black finish.
PVD.
Physical vapor deposition. It's a coating process. Makes it this unique black and orange piece. It's about taking that luxury and making it personally hers.
And then Tom Brady. His collection is apparently outrageous. Give us a taste.
Outrageous is a good word. It's the value, but also the variety. He has a Rolex Daytona, the reference 6241 John Player Special. Incredibly rare. One sold for $2.5 million just last year.
$2.5 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's also got like a classic Day-Date 40 in platinum with an Arabic dial. And then something totally different, the Oyster Perpetual Celebration dial, the one with the fun, colorful jigsaw puzzle look.
So it shows range, not just the super serious stuff.
Exactly. Appreciation for history and value, but also a bit of fun, you know, expressiveness.
Now, shifting to style icons again, Ryan Gosling. He's a Tag Heuer ambassador, right? But he still wears Rolex.
He does, and it's actually pretty common. He's got classics like an Air King, the reference 5500, a Submariner 16610, even a vintage date just from the 40s.
So the ambassadorship doesn't mean exclusivity.
Not always for personal wear. The contracts usually focus on specific campaigns or collections. A genuine watch lover like Gosling. He's going to collect and wear what speaks to him, regardless of brand partnerships. It shows real passion beyond just the deal.
Makes sense. David Beckham, another style icon, partner with Tudor, Rolex's sibling brand. Does his Rolex collection kind of track his own style evolution?
I think it absolutely does. You look at his older Rolexes, a yellow gold Yachtmaster from the late 90s, a root beer GMT Master 2-1, a vintage sub, a Datejust.
Right.
They fit that earlier era.
Right.
But then his more recent sort of ultimate pieces, an 18-karat rose gold Skydweller, and that stunning Day-Date 40 in Evrose gold with the olive green dial. That screams sophisticated, mature luxury. It mirrors his journey from footballer to global fashion figure.
Perfect fit. And finally, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator. He's heavily linked with Audemars Piguet now. They even named watches after him. But what about his early Rolex connection?
It's funny. Despite those AP connections, for many people, Arnold is still linked to the Rolexes from his massive 80s fame. His iconic watch from that era is the GMT Master 6758. He wore it right after Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, okay.
And he also had a rare 18-karat gold GMT Master, the 1675, sometimes called the Concorde. Those watches are tied directly to his explosion onto the scene as the action hero. That image sticks.
So a huge list of Rolex wearers. But not everyone goes for the crown, right? Even among the rich and famous. Who are some interesting exceptions?
Definitely some great counterpoints.
Yeah.
George Clooney, for instance. You'd think Rolex with his image, but nope. He's a dedicated Omega ambassador. It's Rolex's big competitor.
And he sticks to it.
Consistently.
Yeah.
For him, it seems like a strong loyalty, maybe part business, part personal preference, but he represents Omega faithfully.
Then there's someone completely different. Bear Grylls, the survival guy. You'd imagine he needs something tough.
Yep.
Maybe a Rolex Submariner. He did wear one for a photo shoot once.
He did. But for his actual, you know, rough and tumble survival stuff, he uses his own Luminox brand watches. They're under $1,000.
Practical.
Exactly. It shows that best isn't always most expensive. For extreme conditions, function beats luxury status, even if you could afford anything.
And maybe the most surprising, Bill Gates, richest man in the world, spotted wearing, what was it?
In 2023, a $50 Casio Duro Analog, a simple dive style watch.
$50. That's quite the contrast. What does that even communicate?
It's fascinating, isn't it? A total counterpoint to this whole luxury discussion. It suggests that for some people, maybe Gates, the brand name, the status symbol aspect of a watch, it's just irrelevant. A simple functional tool does the job. It really makes you think about wealth and how it's expressed. Challenges that whole idea that status needs flashy things.
Okay, so we've covered Rolex off-screen, the exceptions, but now let's broaden out. Because watches and their stories, they really explode on the big screen, don't they? How has Rolex become such a cinematic legend?
Oh, the silver screen is where Rolex transcends. It becomes part of the myth. Look at Paul Newman's Daytona, his personal watch.
The one that sold for.
An unbelievable $17.75 million back in 2017. Most expensive Rolex ever sold at auction.
Just incredible.
And the irony, when those Daytona models first came out, they weren't popular at all. They struggled.
Yeah.
It was Newman wearing his day in, day out from 72 till he passed away in 2008. He made it iconic. His personal connection transformed it, inspired Rolex to make a whole new series. His touch redefined its entire legacy.
Wow. And then maybe the ultimate movie watch, James Bond's Submariner. Sean Connery and Dr. No, right through to Roger Moore's gadget version.
The one with the buzzsaw. Yeah, the Submariner basically became Bond's signature. Rugged, sophisticated, waterproof, always capable. It wasn't just a watch. It was part of the super spy persona, pure cinematic legend.
In Rain Man, Tom Cruise plays this flashy car salesman, and he wears an all-gold Rolex Day-Date. What does that tell us instantly?
It's perfect character shorthand. That flashy all-gold Day-Date. It screams, look at my success, maybe a bit too loudly. It signals his status, his aspirations, maybe that slightly brash edge, all without him saying a word.
Dustin Hoffman's GMT Master feels different. He wore it for decades, apparently, even when he won his Oscar. And in films like Straw Dogs, Marathon Man.
Yes. Like Newman, Hoffman and his Rolex were intertwined. It was actually a gift from a Rolex executive back in the 60s, so it had huge sentimental value.
Ah, okay.
It shows how a watch can become this personal talisman, right?
Yeah.
Marking huge life moments on screen and off. A constant companion.
Speaking of constant companions, James Cameron, the director, wore his Submariner for 20 years.
Yeah.
Through dives to the actual Titanic wreck.
33 dives, yeah. And then, incredibly, he gifted it to an Amazonian tribe chief he met. And apparently, he went out and bought an identical replacement almost immediately, called it the one constant companion.
That's profound for a watch.
It really shows the deep connection people can have. For Cameron, in those extreme, dangerous situations, miles under the ocean,
yeah,
that watch was more than an object. It was this reliable, steady presence, a partner.
Michael Caine in Get Carter, another classic. His character, Jack Carter, wears a Datejust, right? Gold face, brown strap.
That's the one. And it's not just worn. It's featured on the iconic movie poster. It reinforces Carter's whole vibe. Ruthless, stylish, powerful. It's a subtle cue, but it says a lot about who this guy is.
And then the weird one, American Psycho. Apparently, the movie actually made the Rolex Datejust more popular, even though the studio was nervous and cut the line, hey, don't touch the Rolex.
It's a total paradox.
Yeah.
The brand was initially hesitant, worried about the association with, you know, Patrick Bateman. But somehow that connection, maybe the taboo of it, just amplified the watch's allure. It became linked to this edgy, obsessive, status-driven lifestyle. For better or worse, it stuck.
And Rolex just keeps popping up everywhere in movies, doesn't it? Marlon Brando's GMT Master in Apocalypse Now, Dennis Hopper timing bombs with one in Speed.
Even Danny DeVito trying to bribe an alien with his Rolex before getting zapped in, what was that movie?
Mars Attacks, maybe.
Could be. But yeah, each appearance, serious, action-packed, comedic, adds another layer to Rolex's cultural baggage. It becomes this universally understood symbol, adaptable to almost any context.
And a really powerful use. David Oyelowo playing Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma wearing a golden Datejust. What does that choice bring?
It adds this quiet layer of authenticity and gravitas. Dr. King was known to wear a gold Datejust. So seeing it on Oyelowo, it just grounds the portrayal in reality, subtly underscores his presence and stature without being flashy. It feels right for the figure.
Okay, so Rolex definitely casts a long shadow. But let's move beyond the crown now, because there are so many other amazing watches with incredible stories and film and culture. What non-Rolex pieces really stand out?
Oh, absolutely. This is where you see some really creative choices. Like in Batman Begins, 2005, Christopher Nolan specifically got Jaeger LeCoultre involved.
Really? For what?
To create a unique watch for Bruce Wayne. They used their classic Reverso model, the one with the case that flips over.
Perfect for a double life.
Exactly. They made a grander Reverso ultra-thin tribute to 1931, but customized.
Yeah.
One side was the watch face, the other had the Batman symbol. He could flip it to protect the face, you know, during activities. Genius collaboration between filmmaker and watchmaker.
That's incredible detail. Okay, what else? Tom Cruise again, Collateral 2004. He plays this super slick hitman. What was on his wrist?
An IWC. Specifically, a vintage engineer automatic, the IW3233.
How did that fit the character?
Perfectly. The IWC engineer line is known for being technically excellent, but visually quite understated. Elegant, precise engineering. It matched his character cool, deadly efficient, smart, minimalist style. Not flashy, just good.
And another minimalist cool character, Ryan Gosling in Drive. You mentioned he wears Rolex personally, but in that film, it was a Patek Philippe, right?
Yes, a Patek Philippe with a brown strap. And that's a fascinating choice for Driver.
Why Patek? They're like the pinnacle of quiet luxury.
Exactly. Patek doesn't scream. It whispers quality, craftsmanship, value,
Mm-hmm.
but only to those who know. It's discerning. That fits the driver perfectly. He's skilled, precise, self-contained. He doesn't need to broadcast anything. The watch mirrors that quiet confidence, that sophisticated depth, speaks volumes without shouting.
Okay, switching gears completely. Pure 80s fun. Marty McFly's calculator watch in Back to the Future, the Casio CA53W.
The data bank. Yeah. Just a normal, kind of nerdy watch back then. But now, thanks to the movie, the character, that massive wave of 80s nostalgia, it's a niche icon.
It really shows that icon status isn't just about price tags, huh?
Not at all. It's about the story, the connection, the cultural moment. That Casio is iconic because of Marty and the DeLorean, not because it cost a fortune.
Sticking with the 80s and sci-fi, Ripley in Aliens 1986, she wore a Seiko.
Yeah, a Seiko speed timer, the 7A28-7000. Another brilliant 80s choice. It looked futuristic and cool enough for the hero, but also rugged and practical enough to believably survive battling xenomorphs. Functional fashion.
And Ghostbusters, they had a special Seiko too, right?
They did. The Seiko M516 voice note watch, it was basically created for the movie, kitted out with little ghost-busting gadgets. Shows how a watch can become part of the film's tech, a prop in itself.
That's fun. And one more, going back a bit. 2001, A Space Odyssey. Kubrick being Kubrick. He commissioned custom watches.
He did. From Hamilton. He wanted something unique for his cosmonauts. Something that looked like the future as envisioned in the late 60s. They came up with these very distinct, sharp-angled, functional designs. It's peak Kubrick, meticulous detail, ensuring every single element fit his vision.
Amazing. Now, we can't wrap this up without touching on sports. There's such a tight link between athletes, high performance, and fine watches. Why do these worlds mesh so well?
It's a natural fit, really. Yeah. Shared values. Precision, timing, peak performance, endurance, aspiration. Plus, watches make great trophies or symbols of achievement.
Like that Real Madrid story.
Exactly. When they won the Champions League in 2014, their 10th title, La Decima, the players got two watches. A Panerai Radio Mirror GMT Oro Rosso, worth maybe $30,000. And another watch, a Bulgari worth around $8,200, gifted personally by Cristiano Ronaldo. Engraved with CR7 and La Decima, that elevates it even more, right? It was a symbol of team victory. Gifted by the star player, watches as markers of huge success.
And Ronaldo himself is a big watch guy, an ambassador for brands.
Oh, yeah. He's worked with Tag Heuer, Jacob & Co. He really embodies that link between elite athletes and luxury watch brands. The athletes bring glamour, reach, credibility. The brands offer status, endorsement deals. It's a powerful synergy.
Tag Heuer seems particularly strong in sports.
They've mastered it. Long history in Formula One. Hamilton, Vettel, Alonso have all been ambassadors. But also tennis with Maria Sharapova, golf with Tiger Woods back in the day, even cross-country skiing with Therese Johaug.
And actors, too, like Leo DiCaprio.
Yep, even Hollywood A-listers. It shows how these brands strategically place themselves alongside peak performance and desirable lifestyles across different fields. Keeps them visible, keeps them aspirational.
Wow. Okay, what a deep dive that was. From, like, the absolute peak with Paul Newman's multi-million-dollar Daytona all the way down to Marty McFly's $50 Casio, which is iconic in its own way. We've really covered a lot of ground in the world of celebrity watches.
We really have. And it's clear, these aren't just time tellers, are they? They are such potent symbols. Character, success, cultural moments, huge adventures even. All wrapped up in these tiny machines on our wrists.
So here's something to think about as you go about your day. Maybe you glance at your own watch or see one on someone else. What really makes a watch iconic? Is it just the price, that incredible history it might carry? Or is it more about the legend it helps build around the person wearing it, how it shapes the way we see them, the way we remember moments?
It's a great question. Does the watch make the legend, or does the legend make the watch? Probably a bit of both.
Yeah.
But it definitely makes you look at timepieces and the people who wear them just a little bit differently.